Are you blessed tonight?
Amen.
How many just feel energized right now? It is good to be back in Kingston, New York. How many first-time visitors, you're here for the first time, you've never been in any of the meetings, would you lift up your hands? Wow, would you welcome them tonight? Welcome, welcome. We've got people now watching on the World Wide Web. Why don't we just say a big hello? Welcome tonight to Kingston Fire, right here in Kingston, New York, 100 miles from New York City. And I'm glad to be here, so I'm glad I came. What you just saw, the reason I showed this video is because the Lakeland outpouring wasn't just a Lakeland outpouring or a Florida outpouring. It was a global outpouring where people from around the world were traveling as far as up to 20,000 miles from around the earth to be in meetings. People from India, people coming from Australia, Western Australia, to come to the meetings. And they came because they were hungry for God. I believe everybody in their heart, all of us are asking the question, why am I here? How many have asked that before? Three people. Like you were born, and you went, I know why I'm here. But all of us ask the question, why am I here? And tonight, I'm going to share with you something that the Lord literally dropped into my spirit this afternoon. I mean, just this afternoon. How many like fresh from heaven? Yeah. Fresh from the bakery oven of heaven. Not programmed. I didn't download anything off the internet. But the reason I say that is because that's where we're going. That's where my wife and I are traveling to. We are taking fire to every single nation, country, city, village that we possibly can. And we're committed to the call. We will spare no expense. Doesn't matter what it costs. Doesn't matter what it costs us. It doesn't matter how much time we have to invest. The fire of God must touch this generation. It's not enough anymore to go to church and still live like hell.
Yes.
Or for those of you that are offended by that word, H-E double hockey sticks. But it's not enough to live this life, shout, sing, and jump around without doing something about what you have been given. And I'm telling you right now, if you walk away from what God has given you here, and that's why it doesn't involve only I have to be here, or only Pastor Vaughn has to be here, or only Steve Smith has to be there. It exists in the hearts of the people. And the pastor has already opened up his heart and said, God, we want a move of God. And the evangelists have said, God, wherever we go, we want a move of God. That's what happened. In 10 days, boom, something took place in Kingston, New York. And right now, those of you that are brand new walking into this, this is not some kind of hype that we're running off of the Lakeland Revival and all you're just using. Folks, I will run off the Lakeland Revival if I want to, but I don't have to because I carry the meeting on the inside of me. Okay? I don't need a group of people even. I can get in the glory like that by myself. And so can you. It's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. You are the meeting. And so when you walk out from this church into the roads, into the streets, into your places of work, into your families, they want to experience the meeting through your eyes, through your mouth, through your ears, what you tell them. Faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by the word of God. So tonight, I want to encourage you, why are we even coming to church and doing what we're doing? It's one reason. Do you know what that reason is? Let me ask you a question. How many are excited about what God is doing? Give me a shout. Okay. All right. Now let me ask you a question. What's God doing? That normally happens in a church. You go, everybody excited about it? Woo! What are we doing? There's a purpose in why we come together. It's not just for you. When you worship God, it is not for you. It is for Him. And once you give it to Him, He turns it around and gives it back to you. A seed must die when it goes into the ground first before life can come. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So anyways, I believe with all my heart, we are running a heavenly race. People right now, I'm telling you, young, old, middle-aged, with hair, with no hair, big, small, skinny, fat, whatever. Doesn't matter. We're all in this earth for a purpose, and it's not just to hear somebody preach with charisma. Are you listening to me? Because I'm not here to tickle your feathers. Some of you tonight might even get offended. Some of you might want to get up and leave. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. Because I'm not concerned if I've offended you. You know what I'm concerned about? When I have to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment and He says, you held back. Why did you hold back from what I've given you? It doesn't matter what people think. That's when I started getting breakthrough in my life. It doesn't matter what people say. It matters what He says. It doesn't matter what people do. They're going to do it anyway. It matters what He does. It matters what's on His mind. It matters that we please God, not ourselves. And the preaching of the Word has still lasted through generations. Isn't that amazing? That kingdoms rise and fall, economies go up and down, but the Word of God stays consistent forever and ever 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 and ever. 100 years from now, nothing you own, have, or have accomplished is going to mean anything except for who you bring with you into the kingdom. Oh, great. This is another soul's message. You bet your butt it is. We don't have much time. And they told us that 40 years ago. And guess what? It was the truth 40 years ago. Because some people missed the boat. I'm not missing the boat. God gave me a life for a reason. I had one person come up to me and they said, how come God gave you a platform? What about me? I've been doing ministry for 15 years. I don't understand. I said, I don't know. What are you doing with your platform? Is it your platform or His? What are you doing with your platform? God gives us things because He wants to see what we're going to do with what He's given us. Are you going to be a steward of the things God has given you? Or are you just going to squander it and just spend it on yourself? Geez, Roy, I thought you were going to preach a nice little message and I was going to worship to in the presence of angels and I thought it was... I don't care if you're 86 in this place tonight. If you're not winning people to Jesus, I question if you're even saved. Don't tell me Jesus died on the cross just to save you and that's it. Don't tell me that that's all He died on the cross for, was just you. It wasn't just for you. That's why He said, love each other as you love yourself. Do unto others as you have been... Hello? This is what He's called us to do, to pass it on to people. Do you understand right now, Jesus is not on the earth right now. Did you know that? Amen. Well, Roy, you said last night in the meeting that Jesus was in the building. Yeah, His presence was in the building. But Jesus Himself is not on the earth right now. These are not even the days of Jesus right now. Did you know that? I'm going to rattle some people here. But I'm speaking biblically. These are the days of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is why I say Jesus is not on the earth. My Bible reads that He's sitting right now at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. That's what the Bible says. He's interceding for you and I. Some people come up to me and they say, Roy, we're praying for you. We just want you to know we fought off some battles for you. Well, that's great. I'm glad you fought. Where were you when I was in Africa by myself when I was 18? Where were you? You weren't there. I got through that. You know why I got through it? Because Jesus is interceding for me. Some evangelists now, and I'm just cracking the whip. I'm cracking the whip. This generation needs a crack. All the parents say amen.
Amen.
All the youth say amen.
Amen.
Because God chastens those whom He loves. Rebuke is good for the soul. It's good for the spirit of man. It's good because God says, I love you so much, stop doing that. Some people, you get both sides of the spectrum. Some people are so high on themselves, they're a legend in their own mind. They're high on themselves. Some evangelists, they're like, well, if I come in to preach, I've got to have such and such money and this and this and that. I'm thinking, who do you think you are? I can get Jesus cheaper than you. We are built to be people of faith. Now listen, this is going to be head-on collision night tonight. Buckle up. If we don't get this message, if we don't understand that this is real stuff, I could care less about the person that wants to get up and leave. I could care less if you think it's too long. It doesn't bother me if you say it's too loud, because it's going to be really loud when Jesus returns.
Why's Michael got to blow the trumpet so loud?
Because you're dead. You need something to wake you up. You know what the Bible says? It says reproach, rebuke, exhort. In that order. Reproach, rebuke, exhort. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to stir the people of God. To stir the pot and say, listen, I'm the guy that was sitting in services 20 years ago and 10 years ago. And I made it through, and look what the Lord's done for me. This is my testimony to say that He never fails in anyone's life as long as you believe. Don't tell me it's because you had this and you had that and you had that. Really? Really? Is that why I'm so blessed? Is that why God's doing some stuff with me? No, it has to do with those that are hungry for God, He listens. Those that press into God, you say, what do you mean by pressing in? I mean going past all your stuff that you carry with you in the church. Some of us, we come to church and we just want to just bless me real quick. Just bless me. You should sing this song. It's all about me. Some people sing, I am a friend of God. It's a good thing because He needed a friend. God doesn't need you. He chose you. He chose you. This Bible that you carry, some people, they have a big enough Bible to choke a moose, man. They try to be so super spiritual when they walk in the place. But I'm telling you, people of the Spirit can look right through what you're doing. I'm always looking in the eyes of people, because I've been looked into my eyes looking for the flame of revival. Is it burning in their life or is it not? And if it's not, that's when we just bring the fire in. We just let it come in by the way God wants to do it. The fire of God's real. It will change everything about you. Revival will mess you up. You won't be able to do regular church like you've done before. You will not be able to walk into a regular service without shouting or without lifting up your voice. No matter what the others are doing, you pressing in and you start to touch God, everything's going to change around about you. And they'll even look at you and go, what's wrong with you? Woo! Here's the interpretation. Fire! What do you think drowns out all the cobwebs in people? You know why there was a sound from heaven that was like a mighty rushing wind? It had to blow all the cobwebs of religion off of all the disciples because of the way they were trained in their former life before they met Jesus. off came the cobwebs. When the cobwebs came off, it's like the scales almost fell from their eyes. And they looked around and realized who they really are. And it didn't matter what time zone they were in. It didn't matter what era they were in. It didn't matter who was king, who was president. They said, you know what? God died for me. He sent his son on the cross. He said, I'll do greater things than even he have done. I think I'm going to believe what he says. I think I'm going to do what he's called me to do. Hey, Joe, I was there. I was there. Bill, I was there. Mary, I was there. I saw God move. See, we have to remember our testimony, what God did for us. And that's why we get dry. You've forgotten what God has done for you. The Bible says that they overcame by the word of their testimony. Where's your testimony? Some people are in the church and they don't even have a testimony. They got saved by osmosis. And there they sit in the back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I said it yesterday. Well, Jesus is a nice, loving God, and he would never treat me that way. He's always nice to me. Yeah, he ain't nice to the religious folks. Everybody in the Bible that was in a former church at that time, when that was their church, he came in and he wrecked everything and he rocked the boat and he totally flipped everything over and he became controversial to the point that he was preaching one time and they tossed him off a cliff, but not really. In their minds, they thought they were going to do it. He walked right through them. You can't stop the word of God from coming through into a generation. And I'm telling you tonight, this word goes into your heart and it will drive itself down deep and it will root. And you need to remember what's already been spoken over your life. You need to remember the roots that you already have. I don't even need people to say amen, hallelujah, and just approve of what I'm saying. It's the Bible. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means whosoever, whoever. Doesn't matter what you've been through, what you've done, you can turn your heart over tonight and get right with God, and he will save you. And it doesn't mean he'll just save you and just get you into heaven. That's not his plan. He'll save you also from the circumstances you're in right now. When you're going through things in your life, you can cry out and say, Jesus. And if you believe what you just said, things change. Do you hear me tonight? I'm not backing off anything. I'm going for the jugular tonight. He bled me dry in that meeting. Good. Get your blood out. Get Jesus' blood in. We're in a race. Your race is not over. Listen to me. Your race is not over. I don't care what you're going through. Really, I don't, because right now, this is what I've learned. Ministry, I said this yesterday, ministry is really an illusion for people that don't get it. Did you hear me? It's God's backup plan to help the person that doesn't see it. That's what ministry is. It's an illusion for those that can't see it. How many watch the movie The Matrix? Yep. Take the red pill or the blue pill. Got it. You take this pill and you're going to see what life is really like. I'll never forget, about three years ago, in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, I was holding a revival meeting in a church called Fishers of Men Ministries. We had 600 people show up for our meetings for that weekend. Actually, it was over 1,000 because they came in increments each night. And new people and everything. And we took people out on the Saturday to go evangelize. 50 people showed up to go out on the streets. 50 people in this little town of Fort Walton Beach, which is where I lived about 6 years of my life. And I walk into a food court. I've got 9 guys with me. I had a photographer with me that was taking photos of all the revivals we were doing all over the states and everything. And we walked into the food court, and we've been passing out flyers. We've been getting people saved, leading people to Jesus, praying for people on the streets, not caring what's going on and everything. And I walk in, and there's 600 people in this food court, just like any normal food court. And it's Christmas time, and there's music playing, and everybody's in a happy mood. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. That's why I moved out of New York. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. So anyway, everything seems peaceful. Everything seems to be going okay. And I walk in the food court, and I'm not a person that's taken by visions and dreams and all that. And I do have dreams, but I'm not like I get a vision. Some people, they get a vision every day. So I'm not one of those people. Brother, I had another vision. Well, dude, it's the 35th one. I'm working on the first one. Can you hold on? But I walk in and I instantly have a vision. And over each person's head as they're eating their food in the food court, I saw a demon and an angel fighting this traumatic battle over their life. Ching, ching, boom. And then it was like the Lord just took me in. Like it was the Matrix, okay? I was like, oh my God. I wish the Matrix was real. You know what I'm saying? You learn to fly a helicopter. You're just like, hey, teach me how to fly a helicopter. It's like, hold on, stand by. So instantly I saw a demon and angel fighting over a person, and then it was gone. It's like it went, and then it was like, chestnut. Everybody's like, I love you. Merry Christmas. And the Lord spoke a clear word. I have never had him speak to me this way ever in my entire life. He said, are you ashamed of me? Now, folks, I'm out winning the lost. I'm not sitting in a pew on a Sunday morning giving my tithe and my offering. Some people, they go to the bathroom all the time. Sometimes that's the only contribution people give to the church. Oh, yeah, I said that. I'm talking about I'm out winning the lost with people, handing out flyers, leading people to Jesus, praying for them, and they're getting healed on the sidewalk in the middle of the day at 2 o'clock on a Saturday. And the Lord, in my opinion, had the audacity to say, are you ashamed of me? And I'm saying, Lord, of course I'm not ashamed. We're out here winning the lost. I got 50 people out here, man. The biggest turnout we've ever had in the revival meetings that we were doing for soul winning. The biggest turnout. He says it again. I felt like Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? Oh, no, I know where this is going. He says, are you ashamed of me? I said, no. He said, are you ashamed of me? I said, no. He said, are you ashamed of me? I said, God, I'm not ashamed of you. And instantly I heard this voice. Then tell everybody about me right now in the middle of this food court. And I had a thought. You foul devil. Come out! But see, I knew it was God speaking to me. See, there's one thing on God's mind. The lost, the lost, the lost, the lost, the lost, the lost, the lost. What do you think's on God's mind? Redeeming the lost, redeeming the lost, redeeming the lost. What's on God's mind? Souls, souls. Why was the Holy Spirit sent to the earth? Souls, souls, souls. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Souls, souls, souls. Why did he give us power so we could build big ministries and take in lots of money and travel the world and have vacation on people's offerings? Souls, 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 souls. That's why I tell people, what do you do with the platform God's given you? Are you giving him glory, and are people getting saved at your meeting? Some people say, well, I pray 3 hours a day. Really? How many people did you lead to the Lord after that 3 hours of intense prayer while you were at home? What'd you do with that? What did you do with that? I don't even pray that way. I used to when I was younger. But today, I've got my own relationship with Jesus. I'm not under somebody's lawlessness, religion kind of junk where it's like, Shandai Kramba Sunday Shandai Ba 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 Ba. Amen. The Bible says pray without ceasing. I pray to God while I'm in the shower. I talk to the Lord and we have fellowship while I'm in the car, while I'm on the plane. I'm fellowshipping with my Savior. I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Before I landed in Kingston, I was having time with God, looking out over the clouds as I was coming up the north side of America, saying, oh God, will you touch this land? Will you touch these nations with your fire again? Oh God, don't let it burn out. Don't let it go away from this generation. Don't let people get captivated by just the smooth talkers. Don't let them be deceived by people that just have flashy ministries. But God, shake everything that can be shaken. Break everything that can be broken. Let everything that can fall, fall, God. And have yourself a place where you will be lifted up and every man will be brought low.
Yes. Yes.
That's praying without ceasing. So I look at this question. God says, are you ashamed of me? I said, no, I'm not ashamed. Then tell everybody about me. And now I have this thing that God's spoken to me. How many here tonight, you have had God speak something to you that you know it was God, and you couldn't get away from it, and you know that if you didn't do what he said, it was sin in your life? 12 people. It becomes sin. It doesn't even matter. Well, that's not what it says in the Bible. Did God speak to you or not? Let's just analyze something real quickly. God spoke to Abraham, told him he's going to have a son. He doesn't have a son. So Abraham takes it upon himself, takes in his maidservant named Hagar, sleeps with her, has a son named Ishmael, and they still don't have a son after that from Sarah. She's still barren. And God, in his infinite mercy on mankind, says, you know what? You messed up, but guess what? I'm going to give you a son anyways because I'm a man of my word. When I said it, it's done. And he gives him a son. Now he gets the son, and Abraham hears the word of the Lord. Now, did an angel come down from heaven?
Abraham, take thy son up to Mount Moriah and kill him.
What would that sermon be like in Abraham's church? Good morning, church. Glad to see everybody here on Sunday morning. Listen, the Lord has spoken. Oh, praise God. What did he say? Kill my son? Half the church leaves, has a church split right there. Then he goes up to Mount Moriah with his son bound up, which Isaac doesn't even know what he's getting into, but he's obedient to his dad. I'd be asking the question, if I was bound up, I'd be like, hey, Dad, just curious, but where the heck are we going, man? Don't we do this to goats and lambs and all kinds of other things? Maybe the Lord started to change his voice. Hey, Dad. Amen. Yeah. Where are we going? Shut up, son. Just follow me. Do as I say, not as I do. He takes him up to Mount Moriah. God speaks again and says, now, don't kill your son because there's a ram provided for you. So why did I bring that story into what I'm saying? Because Abraham heard the word of the Lord. It doesn't say there was an audible voice that came from heaven. Abraham had fellowship with God. Even in the midst of all his suffering, God still speaks to you. Are you listening to me right now? What the Lord is speaking through me to you, that God still speaks today to you personally. And he doesn't need brother so-and-so or brother bucket mouth or sister doodad.
That's right. That's right, brother.
He doesn't need to have somebody that has eloquent speech.
Yes.
That stands and reads from a book. Oh God, we come before you this day. Like God's up in heaven going, hey angels, shut up. They're praying with eloquence. Abraham just had a relationship with God. So here I am thinking about that. The Lord's speaking to me. And now this is how you know the Lord's speaking to you. Your heart starts to beat really fast. Nobody's standing there with you. You're by yourself. Now I'm walking across. I took my jacket off. I had a white shirt on, blue jeans with boots. I'm walking back and forth. Now I look like a terrorist because it was terrorist season. Everybody was suspicious of everybody. Yes. Wouldn't you be suspicious if you're eating your dinner and there's some guy going like this? Shiki on the rabaka. So people are like gazing at me, watching me, and I'm gazing at them, watching them, praying in the Holy Ghost. I use what I call emergency tongues. It's what you use before you're going to hit somebody in a car accident. You're like, emergency tongues. So I'm going back and forth, and I'm like, oh my God, this is burning now. Now it's burning in my chest. I feel heat of the Lord. I feel the fire of God coming in me. I feel a boldness coming in me. I almost feel like all the revivalists and the disciples that went before me were up in the clouds going, come on, Roy, you can do it. God is with you. Wherever you go, He's with you. You can do it, Roy. Go for it. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them that He died on the cross. Go for it, Roy. Okay, go ahead, pop those in. So it's burning in my chest now. The fire of God is burning in me. And I know that if I don't do this, I am totally going against what God said. Now, I don't encourage anybody to do this if God hasn't anointed you to do this. Okay? Because I had to face facts that what was probably going to happen. How's that? Is that better? Yeah. So I had to face facts when I heard the Lord speak to me and He said that to me. I had to understand that, okay, Roy, if you lift up your voice in the middle of this place, you are going to have five things done to you. You will be punched, kicked, slapped, tasered, or jumped. You can't lift up your voice in the middle of a food court and act like an idiot without security coming down and taking you out. That's disturbing the peace. Last time I looked, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword to divide against soul and spirit. Yes. How about them apples? Yeah. If you like oranges, whatever. So I'm like, my friend walks up to me and he says, he sees me all like, I'm going like this. And he comes up and he goes, Roy, what's going on? What's going on? Something's going on. God spoke. What did he say? What's going on? Like he knows something's happened. I'm like, dude. The Lord's told me to lift up my voice in the middle of this place, basically make a scene. He's like, dude, I totally bear witness to that, and I'll be over here by the exit if you need me, and I'll be praying in the Spirit and interceding for you. Dude, I'm with you, 50 yards away, trust me. I mean it from the bottom of my feet. So now I'm like, okay, I'm alone. Nobody's with me. It gets stronger and stronger. I start seeing the call of God on my life and all those that went before me. The mantles that were dropped on people's lives, that fought the fight, that ran the race, that gave everything they had. And I felt eternity entering into my spirit man right there in the middle of a food court in December during Christmas. And Richard was there. I said, Richard, I'm going for it. He's like, right. And this is what I did. And I promise you, you might want to turn the mic down just a little bit. I'm going to tell you exactly what I did. Because I just, when you have the fire, turn up a little bit. When you have the fire of God on you, how many know it doesn't matter what people say, think, or do? When God touches you, you don't care what people say. You were there. That'd be like somebody coming up and telling me that Melanie is not my wife. I'd be like, dude, you're smoking bad religious weed. Now the confidence of the Lord comes on me, falls on me like a mantle right there in the middle of the food court. And I went for it, right in the middle of 600 people. And this is what I did. Can I have your attention, please? And I'm like this. And the place was like, and I went, and it was like, so the first spiritual thing that came to me was, Merry Christmas, everyone! And then, like the fire that came down Elijah's altar, it came down on me, and I said this. I want everybody to know, within the sound of my voice today, here in this food court, and I'm going like this. I mean, everybody's watching. 600 people stop what they're doing. The people behind the Japanese giving out the little tiny, try this. Which I stopped by before I did this. I had to get some fuel. You know what I'm saying? So, they're all standing there. Oh, you want to try? They're over there in the back. Hallelujah. No. So. One guy didn't know how to speak English. He's like, "Compa chica." He on fire. You come work here, you grill all our stuff. If you're Chinese, I don't speak the language. I'm learning. But I just lifted up my voice and it came out like thunder and flood and rain and a storm and a hurricane, you name it. And I said, I want everybody to know within the sound of my voice that God loves every single one of you today. He does not condemn you. John 3:16, and I didn't care what anybody said. John 3:16 says, for God who loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I says, and then we miss that scripture in verse 17 where it says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that through him they might be saved. And then I said this. I said, folks, I want to tell you today, right here standing in front of you is a man that's been changed by God. I used to have a terrible life. I'm from a broken home. I was totally like killed on OD'd on my asthma medicine at 8 years of age. I spent a year and a half in a children's home, 6 months in a foster home. I have every right to be mad, but God changed my life. And he's sending out signs and wonders today to show you that he's real. That's why the movie The Passion of the Christ came out 3 years ago, to show that there was a man that died on the cross for you, who bled and died for your sins and for mine. And that's why the nativity story came out, because before he died, God gave us a gift. His name is Jesus. I said, today, if you want to be changed like God's changed my life, I'm not the same I used to be. And I said, I'm telling you, and being honest with you and real, he's changed my life. If you'd like to give your heart to the Lord, I'll be out here where these two guards are on their way to take me out. And I want you to come out and give your life to Jesus. God bless you. That's what I did. That's what I did. I walked out like this. Guess how many people came out? Guess who came though? three evangelists that were inside there eating their food, and they heard that. I stirred the pot for the evangelists. They came out. Oh my God! Whoa! They're like, I've never seen that before. I went, me neither. It's my first time. I called my wife on the phone. I said, honey, do you think what I did was stupid? Do you think what I did was trying to be a hero because I had all these people with me and I wanted to see a big leader and all this kind of stuff? She said, honey, all I can tell you right now is I thought I was listening to William Booth stand up from the Salvation Army and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Half an hour later, I walked back into the food court. Little did I know that earlier that day, my wife was in a McDonald's because we started out at 9 o'clock in the morning and we went until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours on the street, winning people to the Lord, praying for them. And earlier that morning, my wife was praying for a lady in the McDonald's openly. And I don't mean like this, let's pray. She can't say, I'll take a Big Mac and some fries. Amen. Did you feel that? Well, it was the fryer. The grease splatted over here, you know. And a man was standing in line and saw my wife praying openly, unafraid of anybody, open with her faith. Don't care if you get persecuted. Folks, you're going to be persecuted. If you don't have persecution in your life, I ask you the question, are you even saved? Because the saved do get persecuted. They're not persecuting you, they're persecuting him. And he watched my wife openly pray for this guy. Guess what? A half an hour later, I walk in the food court, and there's that guy standing over there. He approaches my wife, and he just got done seeing what I just did in the middle of the food court. So he was in McDonald's, and somehow he came to the mall after McDonald's, and now he sees that, and then he sees this, and God starts to deal with him. So I come up, and she introduces him to me. My wife introduces, this is my husband, Roy. He's a full-time evangelist. We're on the road, full-time ministry. We gave up our home, all that stuff. We told the whole story, how we gave up our home and gave everything away. We didn't sell it and put it into the ministry. We gave it all away and cut all the ties. And then we drove up and down from Maine down to Florida for 3.5 years, taking our two children on the road, homeschooling them, driving into an SUV with a trailer pulled in brown behind them. I've told it so many times, you know. And he's like, wow. I said, so who are you? He says, well, I'm such and such. I don't want to use any names. Richard Myers. If you're watching, I'm talking about you. And he said, I said, what do you do for a living? You know, what do you do? He says, well, I'm a network administrator, but I was a pastor. I said, come again? How do you go from being a pastor to a network administrator? Is that a new title in the Bible? Thus saith the Lord, the church is built on the apostle, the prophets, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher, and network administrators. You might have the hand, but you need the wires to make everything move. You know, I mean, I'm like, how do you do that? How do you get demoted from a pastor to that? He says, well, Roy, I got to be honest with you. It's been tough for us. Financially, it's been rough, and I'm just dry. Spirit of God came on me again. What a great day. I love having days like that. You're just in the zone. You don't care. Somebody comes over to you and they're like, hey, you really shouldn't. You just go, bzzz, and they go, yeah, just flop over there. So he says to me, I've been dry. And the Lord says to me, remind him of when he got saved. So you know what I did? Right in the middle of the mall, again. Now, people are watching me walk in. They're like, oh, there's the guy. Yeah. Allah Akbar! Yeah. Allah! So I said, lift your hands right now in this mall. Close your eyes. Now, there's no catchers. There's no deacons. You know, I don't believe when Peter walked with Jesus and Jesus was walking with the disciples that Jesus turned to Peter and said, Peter, would you just play that song one more time while I pray for this guy who's blind? Could you repeat that chorus, Peter? No, I'm not dead yet. Don't sing that song yet. Listen, just play the song that I want for the healing. See, we think we need all this stuff to have the anointing. You don't need nothing. The Bible says that it's the anointing within you that teaches you these things. You don't even need to be taught, the Bible says, because it's the anointing within you. Except for those that can't see it and those that don't get it. And so I said this, lift your hands, close your eyes. He did so right in the middle of them all. I said, God, I pray the same fire that touched him when he got saved would touch him now in Jesus' name. And I shouted, fire! You know what he did? Right in the mall. I said, don't be alarmed. For every fire, there's an alarm. And he got drunk instantly. And he went... And we sat him in a chair, and his wife is bawling. Niagara Falls, man. I said, God's going to renew you today. And I'll tell you right now, you need to pick up your mantle and rise again and walk forward with what God's given you. And when you pick it up again, it'll be greater in the latter than it was in the former. And I invited him to the meetings. He comes to the meeting that night. I'm sorry, she came to the meeting that night. He had to work that night. And they told me, his wife told me, that when he got to work that night, he was walking down the hallway bouncing up against walls. Because the Holy Spirit had taken over him. He couldn't even function that night. I don't know what he does. I always think network administrator means like working on a little board than a computer. And I always thought, I know it's not what it means, but I thought that's what it was. And I thought maybe he was doing like the little soldering thing and he went, zzz. Oh. You don't know what you do when the Lord touches you. Hello? You lose control is what happens. And he takes over. She comes to the meeting that night. She's crying again and the Lord touches her. I don't even lay hands on her. She just falls out and she's stuck on the floor for a half an hour. The next night of the meeting, the very last night, Sunday night, he comes with his wife and him and his four children. They hold hands at the end of the meeting. I said, God has called you guys into the ministry and you know it. And you've run from your calling. And tonight's the night that you pick that back up. All of you. You're all called. And they all the kids had a call in their life. I could see it on them. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, fire. And they all fell out. Nobody touched them. And they laid on the floor. You know what happened to that couple? They moved from Florida within about 8 months and became pastors of a church in New Hampshire. Don't tell me God can't restore you. Don't tell me. We get our eyes off of the heavenly race. You are called to win the lost. You say, I'm scared. I don't want to offend people. What are you going to tell Jesus when you die? What are you going to tell him when you're standing before him and he says, what did you do for me? What are you going to say when Jesus stands and he says, what did you do for me? Did you tell people about me? Did you help those that couldn't help themselves? Did you lead them to me? You didn't live for yourself, did you? Because I didn't live for myself. I had you on my mind the whole time I was being whipped and beaten. Please tell me you didn't live for yourself. Please tell me that you didn't just live this life so you could gain everything and lose your whole soul. Listen, this is real, folks. This is real gospel, Jesus Christ gospel. There are some that are going to be sent to hell and they're going to think that they're going into heaven. This isn't a game. This isn't a game. This isn't some special teaching. And all of a sudden there's an awe that comes over the crowd. And we go, oh, this is the serious part. This is the serious part right now because it's eternity. Eternity's on the line, and you might think you're okay. You better get a checkup from the neck up. Because every single man and woman, child, older person, middle age needs revival on a consistent basis in their heart. They constantly need to be revived. It's like spiritual CPR. Boom. Some people, you got to hit them 8 times. Don't get your eyes off of the race. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to open up your Bibles to Habakkuk 2:2 very quickly. Now, how many are going to hang with me tonight? I'm going the direction of the Holy Ghost. How many are going to hang a little bit? 13 people. It's going to be awesome. Habakkuk 2:2. How many know where Habakkuk is? It's the last book in the Bible. Of the Old Testament. I know it's Malachi. I'm trying to nobody's responding.
Amen.
The Lord's called us to eat dirt. Amen, brother. You guys. Are you there? Say amen. Then the Lord answered me and said to the prophet Habakkuk, he said, write the vision and make it plain. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. Say, it will speak.
It will speak.
And it will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it. Now, this sounds like a contradiction, because listen to this. It says, and it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? It's not a contradiction. If you don't write down why you're on the earth and what you're doing with your life, and I'm not talking about your best life now. No, I've met the guy. I'm friends with him. I'm trying to get you onto something else, okay? I'm trying to tell you, it's not about just living your best life here. That book is a good book to read if you're out there trying to do stuff the right way. I'm talking about if you're going to do things for the kingdom. If you're going to do things for the kingdom of God, you have to write down the vision that God has given you. Some of you in this room have forgotten what the vision is. Some of you have forgotten why you even got saved. It's not just so you get out of drugs and get out of alcohol. It's not just so you have a better life. It's so that you can live the life that is of God, but it's so you can go win the lost. Every believer. Did it say every Baptist? Did it say every Pentecostal? Every Lutheran? Every Episcopalian, every Catholic, it said every believer. That's why I believe with all my heart, when you got saved, if you truly, really got saved, you became an instant evangelist.
I'm not called to that. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher.
That's not my gifting. I'm an intercessor. I pray for the lost. I don't talk to them. I just lift up my spirit. Don't touch the lost. Ew. I need to de-people myself. I'm sorry to announce this, but the ministry has always been about people. And being saved is always about winning the lost and forgiving other people their sins so we can get more people to come and realize the life has got to be with Jesus, not with yourself. You can't live for yourself in this life. This is not a popular message. And people wonder why they're in the stuff they're in. It's because you're living for yourself, man. I got a revelation 4 years ago. The reason God called me in the ministry was for everyone else besides myself. And when I begin to answer the needs of people and preaching to millions and thousands and hundreds of people all around the world, and even in little meetings to big meetings to great meetings to on television, all that, and sweating, and I mean, just going after the lost and getting in there and getting my hands dirty and stuff like that, it's because that's what God commissioned us to do. And it's not just the job of the evangelist. It's the job of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the church, of the body of Christ. Don't tell me that it's just up to the leaders. That's not why you got saved. Roy, why are you being so harsh? Because it's not being effective. Amen. We are not winning the lost.
Time to wake up.
And there's scoffers and there's mockers. Oh, come on, Roy. I know that's just your gifting. You're stirred up. Really? When I started out, I was a worship leader. So worship leaders can lead people in worship, but never lead the people that they're leading for worship to the Lord. That's why you're a leader. Lead. And God's called really all of us to be leaders. We lead by example. We lead by the real Jesus that we carry on the inside of us, not some dead, cold, stale religion. Church is never meant to be. I mean, when you live for the world and you drank and you smoked and you hung out at the bars for hours. You come to church, you're in and out in an hour. It's like a dry cleaning service, in at 10, out by 11. Three hymns, three hers. Preach from the Encyclopedia Britannica. Declare the last rites over everybody as they leave. And then go home and eat a buffet. Church was meant to come together to experience the presence of God so that we could go and change our families and go and change our churches and go and change the communities around about us. I'm not preaching to the wind. This is what God's called us to do. And until people get souls, Proverbs 11:30 says, "He who wins souls is wise." Does anybody want to be wise in here tonight for the kingdom of heaven? Some people say, well, I don't know how to do it. That's why you belong in a discipleship school, so you can learn. Where it doesn't become a hobby for you just coming to church, but you say, you know what? God can use me. God can use you. He uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. He uses ordinary people like you and me to do the amazing signs and wonders of God Almighty. I had a woman get out of a wheelchair in Scranton, Pennsylvania, three and a half years ago. 215 people were in that meeting that Sunday morning. Power of God hit the place. The woman got out of her wheelchair. She had no cartilage in her knees. She looked in my eyes, and I just, a gift of faith. I said, give me your hand. Get up. Everybody's like, you can't do that. She has no cartilage. You can't do that. They were Charlie Brown's teacher to me. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. I'm like, get up. Wah, 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 wah. Get up. The woman looks in my eyes. She's a big woman. I grab her by the hand. She stands up and she goes, oh my God, oh my God. I said, just look at my eyes. Follow faith, because the Lord says you're healed today. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day of salvation. Now listen, listen. I've got photos of it, okay? We've got photos of it. And we didn't digitally insert anything. And she got up and she walked across the place and she started out slow. And then she began to get faster. Next thing you know, she started going like this, and the place went nuts. And listen to me. In that AOG church, we started the meeting at 10 a.m. We didn't get out till 4:30 that afternoon. Power of God hit the place. One woman had a cataract in her eye, and the Lord told me, grab her by the eye, stick your thumb in there, and blow into it. Like this, and she fell out under the power of God. People think that's crazy. What kind of gift is that? How can you do that? That's weird. Really? You need to read your Bible. Jesus spit in mud and stuck it in somebody guy's eye. That's a little weird. You can't see?
Hold on.
That was Jesus' way of healing the guy that was blind. And everybody else would have said, you can't do that. That's blasphemy. That's disgusting. That's unclean. Wah, wah, wah. Puts the mud in the guy's eye, and he says, hey, go wash off. If that was me, I'd be like, dude, I'm already heading that way to wash this stuff out of my eyes. Trust me. And he washes it out, and all of a sudden he could see. And you know, before Jesus even healed that guy, he had to cry out in the midst of the crowd, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody else was like, shut up, dude. I'll tell you right now, if it was me and I was in the midst of a crowd, Jesus! Oh, he was blind. Jesus! Shut up, you're being a... You shut up. I want to see. And some of us in here tonight, we are, I'm telling you right now, some of us are spiritually blind tonight. We cannot see. We can't even feel the presence of God, some of us in this room. And it's a serious thing. Some people in here, you can't even feel the presence of God. Some of you haven't even had an encounter with God. You haven't had the Holy Ghost encounter. You haven't had your day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came into the room and swept you off your feet. Some people say it's emotionalism, Roy. You preach emotionalism. Really? It's an experience. Well, you're experiential. You just preach experience. Wow. Giving birth is an experience, isn't it? We go to a Super Bowl and we shout our guts out. That's an experience. We eat chicken. That's an experience. Yum, yum. Everything's experience. Well, Roy, be quiet. Don't get too emotional. What do you mean, be quiet? He touched me. What do you mean? He touched me. I'm not the same. What are you talking about? He changed my life. I got to shout it. I've got to tell every person in the set around me about Jesus. I'm going to shout it from the rooftop. You're not going to hold me down. You're not going to tell me that I can't say what I want to say. Jesus changed my life. I was going one way on the way to hell, and he got a hold of my life and said, I want to bless you, and I want to tell you, you need to go after these that they can see it. And Roy, the road is narrow. It's not broad. It's not going to be easy, Roy. He said to all those that got saved in that time, he said, those that eat of me and drink of me, these are the ones that will have part. You will be the ones that partake of me. And people in the room were like, did you just say that he wants us to drink his blood and eat his flesh? And Jesus was like, yep. And they left the room, the Bible says. And he turned to the disciples and he says, you going to leave too? I love the disciples. I said this last night. They said this, Jesus, where else can we go to hear words of eternal life? You have them, man. You have them. I can't get it anywhere else. I must get it from you. Put your hand on your heart right now. Put it on your heart. I'll tell you right now, when the day of judgment comes and it's the final day, the reason there's going to be a gnashing of teeth will be because you've been around people that have shouted out the word, that have spoken the word and spoke the unadulterated truth. And you'll be reminded over and over again that you could have done something right now because you heard the word. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The foolishness of preaching is the way that God has chosen in this generation and all the generations before us to show himself to us. Simply believe. It's so simple. It's so easy. And we so complicate everything. And we got youth that walk in the church that don't want to be in a service because it's stinking boring. And then on top of that, we have rebellious people that come into the meetings and all they want to do is cause problems. because they have the answer. Give me a Pentecostal break. All we have is Jesus. You know what the difference is between you and some guy laying in a gutter naked in his own vomit and his own feces in India? Jesus. That's it. That's the difference. The only difference between you and those out there that are in that condition is Jesus. That's it. That's it. I want you to close your eyes right now. Put your hand on your heart. I want to ask you a question. Every person here, and those of you that have been in my altar calls, I'm not giving an altar call right now. I want you to evaluate your relationship with Jesus right now. Roy, who do you think you are? You can tell me that. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I've been called to stir your heart. I've been called to challenge you. We need people changed. It will never be just one man's ministry. Oh, God will breathe upon your ministry one day. God will breathe upon what your hands are doing if it's for the kingdom. But it will never be by just one man in his ministry. It'll be by the body of Christ realizing who she is. And once you realize who you are, like I said on the video, it doesn't matter what people think. You get your eyes on eternity and you realize you're running the race. It's a heavenly race. I told this morning in the discipleship school while your hands are still on your heart and your eyes are closed. I have a friend of mine, a pastor, who had a dream one night when he was 12 years old. And the dream was this. He saw a sea of people. I mean, just imagine the entire Atlantic representing people. And they were going off a cliff and into hell. And Jesus was standing facing the other way, smiling. And people were screaming and shouting. Not when they were walking towards the edge, but after they fell off the edge, they realized in a split second they made the wrong decisions in their life and they didn't choose Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I don't mean just going to church, because last time I read my Bible, he said, if you give your life to me, some of you are going to be martyred. We don't preach that in church anymore because we're an American church. But folks, I'm telling you right now, the only way you're going to survive in this life, especially the times that are coming down the pike right now, and I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, I am trying to alert you, there is a battle going on right now, and the generations know it. The kingdom of darkness knows it. The kingdom of heaven knows it. And there's those, just a very few people that are beginning to rise up to speak out and say, we are not going to allow this to come on our generation. But he saw the sea of people falling off the cliff and going into hell. And my friend, let me tell you what hell is, because it doesn't get preached on at all in any church that I've been a part of ever. I've never heard anybody preach on hell. But hell is not the flames and the brimstone and the darkness and some demon with a pitchfork. Hell is a place that God is not. Yes. And how about this for you? He forgets you. It's hard enough, Lord, that you're not there. But you forget me? He forgets you. It's a place of hopelessness, man. There's many people that have actually even gone to hell and they've been allowed to come back into this life to tell the testimony of what they saw when they went. And even God, in His sovereign mercy, is still trying to speak out to us today and saying, listen, this is real, this life. This is not church. You are the church, and I'm trying to talk to my body and tell her you're sick and dying. Get well. I am a well. I am the river. I have a river flowing out of my throne onto my own, and you can step in today. Now is the day of salvation. You will remember these words that are spoken here tonight, and you watching by way of internet. Some of you right now, you're having an anxiety attack right now. It's because God just showed you it could be you that ends up there. That's exactly right, my friend, because every believer has dreams sometimes that they get left behind or they go to hell. And God has sent every single possible way to get our attention and tell us, I'm not joking about this. You were born for a purpose and a reason, and that is to establish my kingdom. Love the Lord your God with all your might. Where is your heart tonight? Are you after eternity? Are you still running the race, or have you dropped out? My God, you can't afford to drop out. Neither can your children. You parents, pick up those stinking mantles and lead your children. Children, Shut your mouth and obey your parents so that you may live longer days. They might not be perfect. In fact, they're not perfect. But I got a scripture. It says when your parents fail you. It doesn't say if. It says when. Which means they're going to fail you. Listen, I'm a parent and I've failed my kids. But when they fail you, he said, I will come. God says, I will come and I'll be the father to the fatherless. Don't you dare. I don't care. I'm putting it out there. Don't you dare leave this place tonight without evaluating your heart and saying, what am I doing for the kingdom of God? And if you think having a bake sale is it, if you think washing a couple cars is it, and you're not winning the lost that come in, you've missed it. And don't think just by you going to church and your family knows it that that's the way it works. Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. I know some of you right now, you feel the power of God. How many kind of feel the power of God on you right now? Right now, you feel the power of God right now. I want you to stand to your feet. Those that feel the power of God on you right now, stand to your feet. Lift your hands right now. I'm telling you, I feel the fire of God in here right now. I feel the presence of the Lord right now. My God, it's like fire. It's like fire. And the fire that's here now, that's the fire you want. The fire that is to come, you don't want that fire. I'm telling you, that fire burns, man. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Why are you existing, my friend? Why are you here on this earth, my God? To sit in a pew in a church so you can text your friend? God's called you to win the lost. You're a carrier. You're a carrier. You're His thunder. You're His lightning. You're His voice. You are the voice of many waters. Don't you understand that? It's not some crazy sound that comes. The voice that I believe sounded like the mighty rushing wind was the disciples lifting up their voice because they realized they got to get to work because Jesus is gone now and they're waiting for the promised gift, which was the Holy Spirit. And these are the days of the Holy Spirit now. He is still here. He has not left you. He's not left you. He's here right now. You lift Him up and He's here right now. Just speaking of His name, He's here right now. Holy Ghost. Steve, will you go up to the piano and play Come Holy Spirit? Or Holy Spirit? Do you remember that? It's the one you always do. The old Catherine. Yeah. Plug your mic in. Yeah. I feel that, listen, don't get your eyes up here. If you get your eyes up here and on the person and on the place, you're missing it. I don't care what people have said about you. I don't care that people say, oh, you're not worth it. You'll never be a minister. Listen, that's what they said about the disciples. The disciples were disqualified men for ministry. They were disqualified for ministry. They weren't approved. They weren't approved by anybody that was in the church. They didn't have the credentials. Jesus comes on the scene. He comes to the beach and finds fishermen. Why were they fishermen? Because they were disqualified from ministry, and the leader said, hey, you're disqualified from ministry. The way you're going to earn income will never be in the church. You must go learn your family trade, and that's the way you'll support yourself until you die. And Jesus comes on the scene, and He says this, hey guys, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I accept you. All ye that are heavy laden, throw your burdens on me. I'll give you rest. Sing it, Steve. Sing this with us. again. First Timothy 6:10, it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only potent, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in approachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. You know how you're going to run the race? You're going to know the Holy Spirit. That's how you're going to run the race. Those of you that you felt the Lord touch you, you felt the power of God go through you, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit has done that to you tonight. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He knows what we need. This is a fight, folks. We have to fight the fight. You cannot give up now. We need people to enter into the army of God now. We don't have time. We don't have time. You may be seated for just a brief moment. Praise God. Praise God. How many just love the presence of God? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. One person said to me one time, "This is old-fashioned, Roy. There's nothing old-fashioned about Jesus." He changeth not. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. Thank you, Lord. This is a time that God's raising up people that believe, that will cut the strings of this life, that will do only what the Master says. The voice of a stranger they will not follow, only the shepherd's voice. Oh my God. Your time's not over. This is only the beginning. This is only the beginning of what God has in store for you. As you believe, it begins. As you believe, it begins. Church is not church as usual. Never meant to be church as usual. Church is made to be alive and well. Knowing who she is, knowing what she carries, having a heart, being broken on the inside of your heart. Some of you tonight, you don't even know what it feels to love people because you've allowed the issues of life, you've allowed the stones to begin to gather on the inside of your heart where there's great callousness, and even the mightiest sword could never crack it in half. But tonight you can allow God to touch you. Tonight you can allow the Holy Spirit to do His perfect work that no man can do. You have to have an encounter with the Holy Ghost yourself, and you can't live on another man's experience. You must have your own encounter. God is touching people right now. Some people's hearts are beating extremely fast. You feel heat on your chest. The Holy Ghost is trying to get a hold of you. You say, but I'm old. Smith Wigglesworth, a revivalist man back in the 1800s. He started his ministry when he was 56, and he's known as the evangelicals call him and the Pentecostals the great man of faith. And the reason he started his ministry at 56 is because that's when he finally believed what God called him to do. Turn to your neighbor, say, there's hope. It's not over. It's just beginning. God has a call on your life, and you know it. You've had dreams. You've laid in bed at night, and you've cried yourself to sleep some nights. And I'm telling you, God is with you. He has not left you. He said he doesn't leave anybody. He doesn't forsake anyone. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I feel the fire of God on you. Come out here for a second. The fire of God's all over you. The power of God's all over you. Will you stand behind her, please? Just lift your hands right now. I'm not even going to touch you, darling. The Holy Ghost, just close your eyes. Lord, touch her right now. Fire right through you. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. Take it. Take it. It's yours. It's yours. Close your eyes. Just go under that anointing. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He's changing everything about you. Lord, touch your Holy Spirit right now, right through her, the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Fire right now, right through her. There it goes. Take it, take it, take it. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours. Just close your eyes. Forget about these people. God's going to shake your whole life tonight. I don't know you from anywhere, but the Lord just spoke to me as I was walking. No longer being a Mary that's or a Martha, always busy. God's going to bring you into a place where you just sit at his feet and worship him. You watch what God will do with your family. Everything changes tonight. I don't know who you are, but everything changes tonight. Just lift your hands. Father, do the work. Lord, touch her. Never the same again. Oh, that's it. That's it. Take it. Take it. Throw a blanket over her. Fix your legs too. Some lady, thank you. Power of God's in this place, man. I feel the fire of God. I really feel the fire of God burning out some stuff. Religion has got to go. Some people are trying to work out what part of the service are we in? How long are we going to go? I feel bad for the person that left 5 minutes before the Holy Ghost came into the upper room. He's not finished with you. He's got a call on your life. Somebody said, oh, Roy, you pushed her over. Yeah, we could see that. Stand to your feet, dear lady. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Holy Ghost, touch her right now. Fire! Right through you. In Jesus' name. Press in, folks. Get your eyes off of the stage. Get your eyes off of the stage. Get your eyes off of the speaker. Put your eyes on Jesus. He's the only one that you're going to be able to turn to in the first place. You young man, stand to your feet. Come out here. Come here. You know God's got a call in your life. You've been running, my friend. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Holy Ghost, touch him right now from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. There it goes. Right through you. Fire! Right through you in Jesus' name. He's looking for somebody that will just be the remnant. Somebody that doesn't care what people think. Somebody doesn't care what your family says about you because you're the crazy Christian that goes to church. God will win your family through you. I led my father to Jesus back in September, and it took me 30 years to lead him, but he finally gave his life to Jesus. So don't tell me that God can't save your family or your kids or bring back the prodigal sons. If you raise them up in the ways of the Lord, they shall not depart from it. Right here, dear lady. Right here. Right here, this lady, right here. Stand to your feet. Close your eyes. Lift your hands right there. Holy Ghost, touch her right now. And I speak against that sickness that's on your body right now. I break its power in the name of Jesus. Go! Right now, right through you in Jesus' name. That thing is gone from your body. No more, no more, no more, no more, no more. It's gone. I don't know what the sickness is, but it's gone. Did you have sickness in your body? Yeah, it's gone. I don't know you. You, come. Come. You, yeah, you looking around. Come. Lift your hands right now. You're a leader. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Tonight, what you get an impartation of is God's going to infuse you with leadership tonight. You're going to see your calling even brighter than you've seen it before. And as he's even spoke to you in dreams, it's about to come to fulfillment in the next few months. You're going to see things change around about you, even the peers that are around you. But you got to have his fire. So just lift your hands and tell him, Lord, I want your fire. Fire right now, right through you in Jesus' name. Take it. That's so strong right now. What about the offering, Roy? How do you survive? God's my source, not you. Lady, right here, with the yellow shirt on and the white over it. Stand up. Lift your hands. That sickness goes out of your body today, right now, in the name of Jesus. I command that sickness to go. You foul demon, you foul spirit, go right now in Jesus' name. You foul thing, I command you to leave her body. Don't inflict her any longer. There is no more authority. She's a child of God, of the Most High, and she dwells and abides among the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. You have sickness in your body, don't you? Do you? Do you? Yes? Well, it's gone tonight. Bring her out here. Somebody help me quickly. Bring her out here. I need a lady, right quick. I need a lady. Come on, where am I? Thank you. That sickness is gone tonight. And by the way, those thoughts of suicide, they don't belong there either. I command that spirit to go right now. Go! In Jesus' name. Out of her. Charlene, come here. Fire God's all over her. You're not going to believe me. Stay right there. You're not going to believe me what I tell you, but I hope you do. I went to bed last night after seeing you and your mother, and the Lord gave me a dream about you. I promise you, I woke up this morning with Charlene on my mind, and the Lord showed me that you've been attacked by some people in your life, and the reason you've had the attack is because of who you are. And because of the call that's on your father's life, your mother's life, and on your life, and that thing goes today, I'm telling you, I cancel out that root right now in the name of Jesus, and I speak to the Spirit of God on the inside of you to rise up in Jesus' name. Rise up in Jesus' name, woman of God. Mighty, mighty miracles shall come. Many, many lives will be changed by your ministry. You're just getting started. I feel that fire right now in Jesus' name, right through you. Touch your Lord. Touch your Lord. Touch your Lord. Lady right here, behind the lady in the yellow. You right there looking up at me. Stand out there. Yeah, you. Lift your hands right now. Just close your eyes. You've been one that says, I don't even know if I believe in all this stuff. I don't even know if it's real. I heard about it. The Lord says tonight, because you've opened your heart to me, because you've opened your mind to me, I will touch you. I will change you. I will change your heart. And all the things that have been done to you are being reversed tonight. Everything that's been spoken negative over your life, you are a jewel in the crown of the King. You're the trophy of His grace. And Lord, I pray tonight that you fill her with your fire right now. There it goes. Fire! Right through you in Jesus' name. Touch her right now. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Right now. Right through you. Right through you. That's it. In Jesus' name. Take it. Stay in that anointing. Yeah. Let it all go, darling. Let it all go. Let it all go. Fire right now. Let it all go. Just let it go. Let it go. You're going to shake generations. You're going to shake your generation. Omnipotent Father, mercy and grace.
Come on, folks, let your worship come out of your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right here in the green. Right here in the green. Come here. Just lift your hands. Lift your hands right now. There it is. Fire right through you in Jesus' name. Lift your voices and sing it out. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To your feet tonight. Lift your worship up. Sing it again. Hallelujah. We worship you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Come on, give him the biggest shout. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to say this after me tonight. Say this after me. Put your hand on your chest. Say this. I am a carrier of the presence of God. Holy Spirit, wherever I go, I know you go with me. Everything I say from this night on, I will say because you tell me to say. And everything I do will be because I see you do it. I will go where you want me to go. I will say what you want me to say. I will do what you want me to do. And I will be what you call me to be. I am the generation now. Come on, lift your voices. This is our hour. This is our time. Oh, lift up your voice. Jesus. This same fire that you feel here right now, I'm telling you, if you don't take it, it's going to go without you. Pull the Australia clip for me, Danny. Pull the Australia clip very quickly for me. No, no, no. What happened? The Holy Spirit left. Put the Australian clip for me. There it is. It's ready to go. Watch this. This is in Australia. This is what some of your seed went to. You may be seated for just a brief moment. I want to share this with you. Then I'm going to give you an opportunity to sow some seed tonight. How many are cheerful givers here tonight? Nobody in their right mind would take up an offering at 11 o'clock at night at the end of the meeting when people have left. But that's why we're not about the money. We are about the presence of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Watch this clip. Turn it up for me if you would.
Send your glory.
That was us.
Send your glory.
If you want revival, listen to me. If you are ready to make the payment, and I mean the cost of your life for revival, if it was to break out here in Brisbane, I want you to come to the altar right now. We're going to sing that song again. We're going to sing that song again. See, revival, you got to be serious and say, God, whatever the cost, I don't want to do the same as I've been doing before. I want a brand new lease on life. I want to see your glory in my generation. I'm not waiting for another generation to come. I'm tired of talking about all the generations before us. We are the generation now. Lift your voice! Lift your voice! Oh, right now! Show us your glory! Come on, cry out for your city right now! Let your fire come! Let your glory!
Lift your hands in this place. That same Lord, fire wants to touch you here.
The same Pentecost that came in Acts chapter 2.
Lift your hands, I'm telling you.
Release it in Australia right now. Fire! Fire! Come on, shout it out, fire! I want your fire! God, I want your fire!
Did you enjoy that? I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm pretty wasted. My flight home tomorrow is gonna be pretty cool. I'll be like, I'm in the clouds.
Is that because this is on as well?
How's this? I don't care. I'll go with this one in my hand. Sounds more domineering. It's a joke. The same fire touched Australia, touched New Zealand. And if we had more time this week, I would pull some footage from the UK. Where we, in the UK, from September to November, after the Lakeland Revival, we went to 18 cities in Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, and England, and the Isle of Wight. And we saw in 18 cities, we stayed for 2 months because my wife and I are dedicated to revival. We're dedicated to the move of God, not just an itinerant person or ministry that just flies in and flies out. The only reason I'm here for 2 days is I've already put 11 days into this place. Can you say amen? And I really didn't even really have the time to come here this weekend because we have massive amounts of administration that's been put on the back shelf for 6 months and it's catching up with us. And I have to hire more staff now and stuff because I'm getting invites all over the world. Literally 2 days ago in Tampa, I had a pastor from Copenhagen, a pastor from Norway, and somebody from Finland that all asked me to come. And they said, Roy, we'll have 2,000 people at each venue, no problem. God has blessed us through the ministry because I know the Lord has called us to be faithful with what he's given us. And I want to encourage you, some of you, most of you in this place, you need to get plugged into the discipleship school here. How many were here this morning? Did you enjoy that this morning from Evangelist Steve Smith? And then I spoke in the meeting as well. And I'm telling you, that's where I learned the stuff I'm here and doing. I went to a place called ZPM, Zion Prayer Mountain. Guess who was heading that thing up? His name's Pastor Vaughn Gerald. Angelo Parisi was there playing his guitar, teaching me how to sing worship and playing a chord that he made up called the D'Angelo chord. You remember that chord? This is a story about a king. I don't know the rest, but anyway. I want to encourage you. This is not a plug. They didn't ask me to say this. Get plugged in. This fire's still burning 3 months later. 3 months later. And it's because you're carrying it. And those of you that you've never been through discipleship school, come. And right now it's on an offering basis where you can come and give freely. There's no charge right now that I know of. Great deal. And what is it going to take out of your life? A Saturday morning and a Tuesday night. So you're going to miss Seinfeld and Everybody Loves Raymond. You know. But I want to encourage you. You got to take this to the next step. And the only way you're going to do it is by continually filling yourself with the Spirit of God, being constantly confilled with the fire. Now, confilled? That was a new word. I'm from Texas. Anyway. I just want to tell you, what you saw up in that screen is what we do all over the world. We light fires. And the reason we were able to light that fire really was because of the revival here. It paid for the trip, basically. Now, we paid for it up front already, but it paid for all the other trips. And I just said, you know what? We were faithful at Kingston Fire. I canceled two meetings, and guess what happened? God opened up five other meetings for me all across Australia and New Zealand. Come on. I tell evangelists today, maybe, you know, some evangelists, they work the same place and they keep coming around and around the same place and people get bored of them. They become part of the furniture. People don't even draw on their gift anymore. So I think what they should do, what I did, throw away all your contacts list, clear your calendar, and just trust God and go meet new people. And go find the ones that are hungry. Don't hang around people that have it all together. Jesus never came for those that had it all together. He came for the desperate. He came for the needy. He came for those that are hungry for him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So tonight, you have an envelope on your chair. I want to give you an opportunity tonight to sow seed, to give into the harvest of souls. Guess how many we saw saved in Australia and New Zealand? 487 decisions. Real decisions coming down to the altar, getting impacted by the Spirit of God, tears flowing down, people's hearts getting right with God, and then the pastors would follow up with them, and they would get them plugged into the church. So it's not like we just came through and we just make it a numbers game. These are people that I'm getting phone calls and emails from. By the way, Alice, I don't know. Oh, sorry. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the one night I was here, there was a man sitting right about where you are, where you have a, that's a cool shirt, by the way, Faith Book. That's cool. Will you be my friend? So he was sitting right there, and he had oxygen up his nose, and he had lung cancer. And I'm just walking around preaching, and I'm walking, and I see the man, and I'm instantly moved by compassion. All I did is come up to him, and I, if you don't mind, I laid my hand right on his chest, and I just sat there, and the Lord said, don't move. And if you watch the video or if you remember that night, I just sat there for like 10 minutes. The man died. But the woman that was caring for him, I don't know if it was his daughter who was, emailed us at our office and said, thank you so much for putting your hand on his chest. Because he said he went home that night and he felt the peace of God when he went to sleep. And he hasn't felt that in years. Maybe it was his time. Obviously, it must have been. But we need to be able to move where we can help people and we can move forward and win the lost and go after the souls, go after the people that need Jesus. Be moved by compassion. Be moved by compassion. Don't do it out of duty. Do it out of compassion because you really love people. Don't do it because you want to notch your belt up that you got this many saved. Now, as a full-time worldwide ministry, I report the numbers on our website so people can see what we're doing. That's why we have pictures taken and video taken and we have footage. Did that footage bless you? Well, that's why we take it, to bless other people with it, to give accountability, say, look, this is where your money's going. It's not going where we're going to go hang out on the island of Hawaii for 8 weeks and drink pineapple juice. We're after the lost. I'm not gathering up all this stuff unto myself. Jesus sent a guy, one guy to hell. Did you know that? He sent one guy to hell in the Bible. There was this one story where there's this guy that had a bunch of stuff and it was in barns. And he said this, what are you going to do with that stuff? He said, I'm going to build bigger barns and put more stuff into it. Jesus said this, your life will be required from you today. He sent the guy to hell. Why? Because he hoarded it to himself. It's not just money. You've been forgiven. That's why you have to forgive others. But you don't understand, Roy, what they did to me. No, you don't understand what Jesus did for you. You obviously don't have a clue what he did for you. If you saw what he went through, boy, mercy would fall into your heart for the person that's interrogating you. Are you with me tonight? Can you say amen? Some of you, how many need a financial breakthrough tonight?
Amen.
You can't come to a church. I'll just tell you this now. Listen, now it's 11:30. More people have left. So So it's not about the money. And we've paid for this. I didn't charge Vaughn nothing. I don't charge any church, not a dime when we come in. When we came to Perth, I went to a 2,000-member church, and they were blown away that I didn't charge a big fee because of the profile, being on television, all that. I said, no, why am I supposed to be a burden to the church? Well, I need to have a hotel that, you know, it's got to be 5-star, and I need to fly first class, and I need chocolate-covered cherries, the ones that spit out that little gel. That's why I say some of these preachers, they need to quit being faith people because they ain't living by faith. If God called you, whatever comes in, my wife and I have said, Lord, whatever comes in the love offering, which is a love offering you give out of your heart, a cheerful giver that wants to give. I'd rather have somebody's money that we can put into ministry that wants to give it than those that just kind of give it because there's the offering time. So those of you that aren't giving from your heart, how about these apples? Keep your money, okay? And it's not reverse psychology. Keep your money. Because you obviously need it more than I do. Because it doesn't work for those. It works for people that believe. And I'm sorry, but the Lord touches on this subject. And he says, listen, you can test me in this. Nothing else except for the money issue. And when I started my ministry 4 years ago, listen, folks, I gave up my home. Are you bragging to me, Roy? Absolutely not. I'm bragging on what Jesus did for me. When I gave up my home, everybody, all the people I led worship for in my church thought I was absolutely nuts and gone mad because I stepped outside of the system of church. And I actually believed God to be my source. And we gave everything away. Took my two kids and we homeschooled them on the road, up and down Maine to Florida. Having revival meetings before Lakeland broke out. I was already having extended meetings up in Colebrook, New Hampshire, where a church of 75 doubled in 2 weeks and went to 150. And we got biker gangs saved, and the Catholics came in and started getting saved, and the Baptists began to fall out under the power of God and speak in tongues. One lady came in the meeting. She was the pastor's sister, and she was Catholic. And the power of God hit her. She got saved in the altar call. She comes up. She says, I said, what's going on with you right now? She goes, I feel really strange. I said, I know, the Holy Ghost is on you. The Holy who? I said, just close your eyes, lift your hands. And I stepped back. I didn't touch her. I said, Lord, touch her right now. Fire, like that. And she went, oh my God, it's real. She got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and left completely drunk on the Holy Ghost wine. And that's what we're about. That's where we're going. Here's our itinerary. This is what you can, you know, if you need something to look forward to here. We are going to these following places. We're in May right now. We're heading to Rochelle, Illinois the following weekend. 1,000-member church. They're the ones we had to postpone for Australia. I think they played the video here, didn't they? Of when I gave the message to the pastor in Rochelle, Illinois or something. They played it one night. Something like that. He asked me for that video. So we're going to Rochelle, Illinois, and we're just expecting whatever happens there. If God wants us to plant there like we did here, we will do it. We'll pay any price. We don't care. We're going to stay. I have nothing tying me down. Melanie has nothing tying us down. Our kids have nothing tying us down. Not everybody's called to do this, but you can be a part of this is what I'm trying to tell you, okay? And I'm not going to tell you, you need to give $1,000 right now. Maybe you do. That's where you're at. But I'm not going to try to weasel anybody or do anything. You give what God tells you to give. That's what we did in our life. I never asked God for money. Listen to me. I never, ever asked God for money in 4 years. I never said, Lord, we need this money. You know what I said? Lord, I need an SUV for my family to pull a trailer so I can pull my gear and get to the place I need to go. That's what I said. Lord, I need an SUV. Didn't the word say that anyone who gives up houses, titles, lands, in my name's sake, will get not only 100-fold in the life to come, but 100-fold in this life now. For what purpose? To bless other people. Can I ask you a question? How many people want to be a blessing to bless others? Okay, how can you be a blessing to bless others if you do not have? Don't look at me because I have a ring on my finger. Don't look at me because I travel on a plane or anything like that and think, well, that's easy for you. Folks, I sat in your seat not even 3.5 years ago. Broke is a joke. And finally got the revelation this giving thing works. And we gave small. We gave $25. We gave $50. And then it got stronger and higher. We had bigger needs, so we gave more. our philosophy started becoming, because I was finding myself in Louisville, Kentucky with $35 in my pocket with a bum trying to come up to me to get some money. I'm like, I know I'm a ministry, but dude, this is all I got. And I would give that anyway, and God would bring somebody else in my pathway that I didn't beg or solicit or try to make them give me money, and I was just moved upon God just to give you this money. One lady in Virginia particularly, we're traveling through the state, and we pulled over because my exhaust came off. I hit a tire. It's terrible, man. It was like, it was really bad. So we pulled into Virginia, and we stayed at a hotel. We got the muffler fixed at a shop and everything, and a lady walked up to me. We had the Run With Fire ministry sign on the side of our trailer, and she says, so you guys are a ministry and everything? And I said, yeah, we travel around. And the minute she said that, she said, oh, that's nice. And the Lord said, her son right now, this lady that's in front of you, is on drugs. And I said, pardon me, I don't know you, right? She goes, no. I said, the Lord just told me that your son's on drugs, and there's been great stress in your household, and there's a lot of screaming and yelling going on right now. Is that true? Dude, she broke. Tears coming down her face. I says, are you saved? Have you ever given your life to Jesus? Do you know that God loves you? She goes, yeah, I know he loves me. I'm Catholic. I says, yeah, but have you ever had a relationship with him, or did you always live your relationship through the priest? And it started to hit home. And see, I'm just built this way. I said, lady, lift your hands right now in this parking lot in front of everybody that's you know, entering in here and lodging in. I said, the Lord wants to touch you right now. And by the way, the sickness that you have inside your stomach, he's going to heal that right now. She's like, who are you? I just said, I am. I'm just kidding. So I prayed. I prayed for her, and the power of God hit her, and she just went like this, and just let it all out. Do you know what she did? She went into her pocket, and she grabbed this gigantic wad of money, and she comes up. She goes, I have to give this to you. I said, no, we didn't do that for that, ma'am. We're fine. You know. She goes, I have to give this to you. And I went, okay. Glad you're obedient. And she began to give into our ministry. We have so many stories to tell you. We don't have enough time tonight to go through all of it. But God never forsakes the righteous. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. It rains on the just and the unjust. Jesus wasn't poor. Jesus always had more than enough for his ministry. You know why evangelists are getting out of the ministry every single month? I just heard this yesterday on television, okay? I heard that evangelists, 1,400 ministers are getting out of the ministry every month in America. Yes. In America right now. Do you know why the number one reason? Nope. The lack of the presence of God in their life. It's not about the money. You know why they dry up and they have no money? Because they think it's about money. And they work the church for the paycheck. It's not about money. Just bring the presence of God when you walk through those doors. You'll be fine. The Bible says the gift makes the way. Are you with me tonight? It's three people. Let me try this church over here. Are you with me tonight? The Bible says that your gift makes the way. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. If you are a carrier of the presence of God, when you walk in, they will feel Jesus in the room. When you walk in the place, they'll feel the presence of God, and they'll just automatically, out of their own heart, will give. They'll give. They'll give. That's the way it's supposed to be. Can you say amen? So listen, if you just bow your heads here tonight, in June, we're in May right now, in June, we are doing a Holland tour. We'll be in Amsterdam, Holland. We're now going to Copenhagen, Denmark. And we're going to be in Coventry, England. In July, we're doing a Canadian tour for the entire month. We're hitting the whole country of Canada. And we're doing strategic cities to hit it. And then we're ending at TACF, which is the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship with John Arnott. And they've given me the building to do my own meetings for two nights. Can you say amen? So it's going to be awesome, okay? I mean, we're just going to hit all the cities and then have one big blow explosion at the end. It's going to be fire all over the place, man. And then that's in August. It's half of July and half of August. In September, we go to South Africa. We're already right now confirming all these things right now, getting the places to go and everything. We've got Johannesburg, Pretoria, Durban, and then we're going to, Durban, Pretoria, Johannesburg, in Cape Town. There it is. And then in October, and now let me just say this to you. I'm giving one-time plug here, okay? In October, the Lord has spoken to me. After a year, almost it's going to be a year and a half, I'm going to be holding a worship camp for 1 week in Lakeland, Florida. And I want to encourage all musicians and worship leaders, and if you know worship leaders and musicians that want to have the glory of God show up in their worship, they need to get their butts down to Lakeland, Florida, because I'm going to have it in a very nice place, and we're going to spend a whole week, and we're going to do activities during the day, and we're going to impart everything we have into them. Can you say amen? Amen. Finally, you know, some people said you should have done that a long time ago. No, no, I wait for the timing of the Lord. It would have been premature. And then, of course, that's October. In November, we are now doing Scandinavia, Finland, Norway, and Sweden, all three of the countries. We're going around the world. Guess what opened to us in Australia? We had three Fiji pastors that came from Fiji. That's redundant. You get that in a second. And they came over to the meetings, and they got totally wasted under the presence of God. These are just terms I use. They got totally drunk under the influence of the Spirit of God. Okay? They had red eyes, bloodshot, tears coming down. You are coming to Fiji, my brother. And listen to this. First time ever in my ministry, in my entire life, they're doing a mass crusade of 10,000 people in the middle of Fiji, and I'm doing the whole meetings. Come on, God's good, man. We're going to see Fiji shaken by the power of God, man. Can you imagine this atmosphere in the middle of Fiji, outdoors in these loudspeakers? With the shouts, I mean, my God, I'm getting excited just thinking about it. And it's going to cost money. There'll be no offering in that deal. Because their currency, well, they don't really have any currency. Except for the tourist dollar, everybody that comes over and drinks the Fiji water and sits on the islands and all the celebrities and all that. Guess what? While the celebrities are sitting back in their hammocks, I'll be raking in all the harvest. All the harvest, all the harvest, bringing in the lost, bringing in the souls, getting them right with God, and having them have the experience of the Holy Spirit. So, what you're giving into tonight, that's what you're giving into. The world is huge. 6.5 billion people, I think, there are in the world. We got a lot of time. No, we don't. There is not much time. It's amazing to watch people follow along. It's like, we have a lot of time. Yes, amen, we do. Yes, lots of time. No, we don't. No, we don't. Praise God. No, we need to move now. Amen. Yes, yes. Will you bow your heads before the Lord? I want you to honestly, from your heart tonight, ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me give tonight? Just let the Lord speak to you tonight. This is good soil. When you give tonight, this does not go into any of my staff's salary. Nobody gets paid from anything that comes in through Run With Fire Ministries. We are a 501c3 certified. You get a tax receipt at the end of the year. All the money goes towards the flights, setting up the hotels, the bookings, all that stuff, renting out halls, giving to the orphanages over in Africa, as well as feeding the poor and just hiring a bunch of people to come in and do the work. Because it's hard to find people, I'll just tell you right now. But when we hire them, we put them up in the hotel. We don't give them a salary out of that. We pay them out of Roy Fields Music Incorporated. When you buy the CDs downstairs, that feeds my family. And God has blessed us enough that we are able to put on staff and everything and take care of all of the salaries. And I live a modest life. So when you give tonight, you give with faith, knowing it's going into the harvest of souls. Okay. Amen. Have anybody received fire tonight? Have anybody received something from the Lord? Then give your best seed tonight. Give your best gift tonight. And honor the Lord with your gift. See what He'll do for you. But don't just do it because you want to see something happen in your life. Do it because you're honoring God. Do it from the right motive of the heart tonight. Amen? Now, if you hear a big number, that's God. Just want to help you out. If you hear a small number, that's the devil. If you don't know which number is which, put them together. That's the Lord. Amen? Any cheerful givers tonight? Amen. Ushers, if you'll come, will you come and ush? Thank you, Lord. You may receive the offering tonight. How many like free stuff? I haven't given out any free stuff at all. Four people love free stuff. That's awesome. Five people. That's awesome. These are the hats that Vaughn was talking about. The reason, this is our logo, but the reason we had these made was back in the Lakeland outpouring, because very much so, the word fire is all over us. Run with fire ministries, and the Holy Spirit shall come upon you and baptize you with fire. And so this is really a reminder. It's not a gimmick or a cliche. It's a reminder that you carry the fire of God wherever you go. And on the back it says, run with fire. So who would like the pink one? Okay, they're $20 downstairs, so you'll want to go down the steps. Here's a pink one. There you go. Who would like the silver one? Wow. Hey, just real quickly, I just got this video camera today. It's going to go on YouTube. And I want you to do me a favor. I'm just going to say, hey, Kingston, say hello to everybody. And I want you to shout fire. Okay? Can you do that for me? All right. Well, as soon as I say go, I want you to stand to your feet and just shout fire. Okay? Hang on a second. I'm here in Kingston, New York. It is May 16th, 2009. The revival that started 3 months ago is still going on. And I just want to have everybody stand and just give a shout out to everybody on YouTube right now. Go for it. Yeah! Fire! We are coming to a city near you. Awesome. Awesome. Listen, we have a DVD called The Journey.
12 o'clock.
They're going fast. The Journey, and this is where I did an interview the last 2 weeks of the revival, and I told the whole story, and I take you into 7 of the venues, and I pulled the worship of the best venue, and we captured 15 minutes of angels singing with no music with all the people in the tent. It's the most powerful thing. When we play it, if we had another day, I would have played it. But who would like this DVD? Let me bless this lady back here. Yes, you. Thank you. God bless you. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Awesome. We have another DVD. It's called We Are the Generation DVD. It's the one that you saw that I played tonight. How many really enjoyed that? Well, let me tell you something. If you have a stereo system at home, you just turn that thing up, hit the lights, and it takes you right into the outpouring. We still get emails today of people say, I've never been in the outpouring, never experienced it. My friend gave me the DVD, and I got to tell you, I soaked my carpet with everything and every fluid that was in my face. That's what it'll do to you. Amen? Who would like this? Okay, it's $25 downstairs. God bless you right there. Absolutely. And then we've got Less of Me DVD, which is just like the live albums. Who would like the Less of Me? I'll give you one of those. Here you go, buddy. I'm going to make this quick so we can get this done. How many have this CD? Do you enjoy it? Well, it's got In the Presence of Angels, and for the sake of time, we won't play the clip. But let me tell you, every time we play this everywhere, people all over the congregation will just stand up and worship just from playing the clip. And it's just a song that I wrote, but there's really, I heard it in heaven. And if you're here yesterday, I played that clip. But this is called We Are the Generation. It's got Rain Down on it, I Am Free. And we captured this inside the Lakeland Civic Center with 8,000 people singing on this album. 8,000 people. So you hear hungry people shouting. you hear just desperate, thirsty people for God. And it'll bless you. Sir, right back there with that lady. Are you with that lady? I want to bless this couple right here. God touched you tonight, didn't he? Would you come just for a second? I don't want to embarrass you, but just come. Meet me up here. Let me give the rest of these out. This is the Less of Me CD. Who would like this? I'll bless you right here. Mike, bless you. Absolutely. What happened to you? Is there a lady that could come up, share maybe? Come, just stand with me here. What happened to you?
I had pressure on my chest, and I just fell backwards.
Did anybody lay hands on your chest or on your face or
anything? No.
What happened while you were down there?
I just shake violently.
Yeah.
And I felt peace.
You felt what?
Peace.
God's changed you tonight, hasn't he?
Yes.
It's real. This is the real felt presence of God. You'll never be the same again.
Amen.
Lift your hands one more time. Father, just continually seal it right now tonight. Never the same again. All of that stuff falls off for her tonight. All those things, never to come up again.
Yes.
Every time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. Touch your Lord. There it goes. Oh, yeah. There's peace. I like that peace. That's peace that surpasses all understanding. No man can figure it out. It says in Acts chapter 2, and they were all perplexed, saying to each other, whatever could this mean? Are you blessed tonight? Do you feel like you've received from the Lord tonight? Thank you, Lord. Well, I want everybody to bow your heads one more time, and we're done tonight. Number 4, if you would, my friend, up in there. How many appreciate everybody that's helped out this weekend with the meetings? Do you appreciate the worship team? Can we give the worship team a big shout? Thank you, Lord. Well, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you tonight one question. Nobody looking around. Maybe you've come here tonight, and even during the service, you felt the presence of God. God was dealing with your heart. You know you have to get right with the Lord. I want to ask you a question that will come to you tonight over and over, because I'm going to ask it, and then it's going to be repeated if you don't answer it from your heart. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm asking in the respect for other people that you don't look around, to respect people's decisions. But if tonight you left this room, you walked out these doors, and all of a sudden your life was to end, and you were to cross over from this life into eternity, do you know, being real with yourself and with God, do you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would spend eternity in heaven? If you don't know the answer to that question, I've got a scripture for you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that through him the world would be saved. Tonight, my friend, you can give your life to Jesus. Maybe you never really have. Tonight's the night, and if you want me to pray for you, I want you to just quickly slip up your hand with nobody looking around and say, Roy, that's me. I want to know Jesus. Would you slip up your hand now? Thank you for your hand, my friend. God bless you in the back, dear lady. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. God bless you. Thank you, dear lady in the middle here. God bless you. It's the best decision you could have ever made tonight. Anyone else? Roy, I don't know the Lord. Tonight's the night. I want to know him. I see your hand way over there, dear lady. Anyone else tonight? That's me. I want to accept Jesus in my heart tonight. I want to make him the Lord of my life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want you to answer this question if you've already answered the first question. The second question is this. I've heard it in my spirit since the second month of the Lakeland Revival last year. I heard in the last days, many will grow cold from the faith. If I didn't shorten the days, the Lord said, even the elect would fall away. That means you and I that come to church on a daily and a weekly basis can fall away from the faith and lose the fire that we have, and we can literally backslide and turn away from God and serve the devil the rest of our lives. And maybe you can't even feel the presence of God anymore. You try to pray and it's like the heavens are like brass. You can't even get through. You don't even know if God is real. You ask the question, is God real? Is God real? My God, look around. Look around. The voice of opposition comes. But if you died right now, where would you spend eternity? During this revival in Kingston, the report came across Fox News. Plane crashes in Buffalo. 50 people gone. Just like that. Were they prepared for eternity? What happened to them when they stepped over? You don't know how long you have on this earth. Your life could end in a very brief moment. And tonight is the day. It's the day of salvation. Today you can make it right with God. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about coming to church and everybody thinks well of you and they think wonderful of you. I'm talking about getting a relationship with Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I have walked away from you, but tonight I am coming back. I am going to get back in the saddle. I'm going to run the heavenly race. I'm not giving up because you didn't give up on me. And if that's you tonight and you've backslidden, you want to get right with God and you're tired of living the life you are, lift your hands up right now and say, Lord, would you include me in that prayer right now? If you've already answered the first question, I don't want to see your hand. I already got that one. I see your hand. Thank you, dear lady. I see your hand, sir. Young man, thank you. God bless you on the front row, sir. Anyone else tonight? Roy, I want to get my life right with God. Thank you, dear lady, for your honesty. I see your hand, young man, in the back. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else tonight? I see your hand, dear lady, in the middle. Anyone else tonight? Thank you, Lord. I have a third and final question for you, and this is it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, in respect of everyone else. If you've already answered the first two questions, don't answer this question. It doesn't apply to you right now. But maybe you've taken growing cold to a whole new level and now you're practicing coldness as sin. You're actually practicing your sin and you haven't been able to let go of the addiction. You haven't been able to let go of the things that you know are not pleasing to the Lord. I don't know, maybe when you come to church and you smile on a Sunday morning, but it's like Jesus said, you're whitewashed on the outside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones. The Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. It will fall, my friend. Jesus is not condemning you. You're condemning yourself by living a life like that. You're just piling it up. All the condemnation, all the guilt. And the way you break free is you get a hold of Jesus. That's the only one that can deliver you from those things. Maybe you're still addicted to pornography. Maybe after tonight, it'll be a struggle for you to go home because you'll log onto your computer and shut the door and pull the drapes because nobody knows you've logged on. Maybe you're addicted to alcohol still. And you have a drink on the weekend or at night and you spray your mouth with breast spray so nobody knows that you still deal with this problem. My friend, you're living a lie. You're not being real with yourself. You're not hurting anybody but yourself. Maybe you're still addicted to drugs. And you spray yourself with cologne so nobody can tell that you've done something that weekend. My friend, you can break that tonight. I got good hope, good news for you. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and are saved. Proverbs says a righteous man falls seven times but gets back up again. He's not done with you. Nothing you've done can separate you from the love of God. Nothing you've said, nothing that you've done in your past can get God to a place where he's so mad at you. He will deliver you from the foulest sin. He will deliver you from the darkest, darkest night in your life tonight. But you have to make a decision. And if you commit tonight, it's not just to make you feel better. You are saying, God, I'm finished with the devil. I'm not serving him anymore. Today, I repent and I turn. And I'm serving Jesus the rest of my life. Devil, I'm done with you. Jesus, I give my life back to you fully and completely. If that's you tonight, and you want to be delivered of that tonight, and you say, Roy, would you pray for me? I want you to lift your hand right now and say, that's me. Would you include me in that prayer? Thank you, young man in the middle. I thank you for your honesty. Thank you, sir, in the back. I see your hand. Anyone else tonight? Roy, I'm done. Jesus, I'm done. I don't want to do this life anymore without you. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. Anyone else tonight? All right, I want all those that answered all three of those questions. You don't know the Lord. The second you've grown cold and you've backslidden, or third, you're living a double life. I want you to stand to your feet right now and come to the altar. I want to pray for you right now. Come. Come quickly. Come quickly. This is the safest place to do it. There's no other place on earth safer than the church to give your life to Jesus. I'm telling you right now. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. We're going to deal with this tonight. We're going to get it done. We're going to get it dealt with tonight. Come closer. Ushers, help me bring them in. Come around here, young man. Come around here. Come around here. Come around here. Come, we're in this together. Come close. Come close. We're in this together, y'all. You might not know each other. I want you to lift your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. Close your eyes. Don't put your eyes on me. I'm not the healer. I'm not the Savior. You put your eyes on Jesus. No one can save you tonight except for Jesus. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And to accept Jesus Christ, it means you have to literally give your life up. Let me repeat that. To give your life to Jesus, you have to completely give your life up and totally surrender to Him. We're going to pray a prayer here in a second. I believe there's one or two others that need to come up and join them right now. I can feel it. Your heart's beating. And you're saying, I don't belong down there with them. Well, guess what? You might not feel that in your heart again. Tonight might be the last night you ever feel the presence of God come and touch you like that. I'm telling you. Because the Holy Spirit works on the heart. But the colder and colder the heart gets, the harder and harder it becomes for the Holy Ghost to get in there and do anything. You have to yield your will. So I want to just tell you, there's two people right now. I don't know who you are. I feel the Lord just told me. There's two people. It's not because I counted. There's two people that belong up here right now, and your heart's beating. Yes. If you answered any three of those questions, I want you to come down to the altar. If you answered one of those three questions, I want you to come down to the altar so I can pray with you. There's one other person. I don't know who it is. I'm going to count to three and then the door's going to shut. God bless you. God bless you. There's still one more. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Lift your hand to heaven. When we pray this prayer, you mean what you say. You say what you mean. The words you're about to speak right now, every devil in hell is listening. Every angel in heaven is listening. That battle I saw over the souls inside of the food court, that's what's going on over each of you here tonight at the altar. There's been a great battle. They're fighting over your soul because there's value in it, and they know it. They know that if you turn your life over to God, you're going to be dangerous in the kingdom of darkness. With your hand lifted to heaven, I want you to say this after me. And you mean it in your heart. Don't just repeat a prayer. Say it with gusto and say it with passion tonight because you mean what you say. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I can't hear you. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight, a person in desperate need of a Savior. Jesus, I can't do this life without you. I have to have you. I know today that I've not been pleasing to you. And today I make a decision to ask forgiveness. And I say from my heart, Lord, I'm sorry if I've not pleased you. I want to please you. I want to make you happy. I know that you love me. And I know that I love you. You said in your word that if I confess Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross, died and rose again, took all my sins and washed them away, you said I would be saved. And so tonight, I confess to every demon in hell that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Devil, I'm done with you. Jesus, I give you my life. I ask you to change my heart. Take out the heart of stone. Put in a heart of flesh that can love again, that can feel your presence again. In Jesus' name. Give me a holy boldness for the things of God. Use me to change people's lives and help me to forgive others as you've just forgiven me now. In Jesus' name. Now just thank Him from your heart. Your own words, your own heart, your own phrases. Just thank Him. Thank Him for His mercy. See, you were going one way tonight, and the Holy Ghost came in, got a hold of your heart, and He turned you around and got you back into the place where He can deal with you. You're in the hands of God now. You're in the hands of God right now. Just thank Him. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. I want every one of you to look at me square in the eye. Look at me. This is all we do. We travel around the world. You can put your hands down. We travel around. I'm not Hitler. We travel. That was a joke. You can't tell a joke in the middle of an altar call. I just did. Anyway, we travel around the world, and all we do is relieve people from their sins. And people say, who do you think you are to relieve people from their sins? Oh, read your Bible. Read your Bible in the New Testament. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, and He's talking to us, if you don't forgive other people their sins won't even be forgiven. It's in the book of John. Which tells me we have the power to release people from their sins. We can take away the stuff that they do against us. And that is the freedom. It's not enough that you say this prayer tonight and then go home and nothing changes. You have to go ahead and forgive people what they've done to you, what they're going to do to you, and what they'll continue to do to you. And that's where you'll find freedom in your life with Christ. And God will saturate you with His presence. You'll wake up in the morning, I'll tell you right now, tomorrow morning, the view is going to change. The grass will be greener. The sky will be bluer. You'll hear the birds sing again. Melodies. You'll begin to sing in the shower again with a brand new song. I'm prophesying now to you. You'll wake up a different person. There's a young man here tonight who gave his life to Christ last night. I talked to him this morning. I said, so did you get any sleep last night? He said, no. He couldn't sleep. God wrecked his life. So guess what? Because Jesus has given us permission to forgive sins, I tell you tonight, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, ordained by the Holy Spirit and by the help of the power of God, I tell you, all your sins tonight and everything you've ever done in your life right into your birth is forgiven you now. Don't get excited. Your life's just about to change. Roy, I'm free. Everything's changing. It's real. It's real. It's very real. God's releasing all that stuff off of your life. You can't be that harsh on yourself. He's not that harsh. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Touch you right now. Him right now in Jesus' name. There it goes. Right through. Fire right now. There it is. Take it right now in Jesus' name. You will never be the same again. Fire right now in Jesus' name. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. You have cracked this heart of stone. Now that's an altar call. Can we give the Lord the biggest shout of praise? Set every single one of these guys and ladies on fire, shaken by the power of God, never to be the same again. Every sickness, disease, every addiction right now is broken off of your life. When you prayed the prayer to the Lord, He sets you free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You will never be the same again. Tonight you have a new lease on life. When you wake up tomorrow, you'll have to pinch yourself because you think you died and gone to heaven. Oh yeah. Wow. Some of these others some joy. Out of your belly here. It's like this. Ha ha.
Touch this part of with your love so divine. She remembers her. Thank you.
God. Can somebody help him? Can you come help pick him up? Pick him up. Help him pick him up. What's going on?
Shaking.
What are you feeling right now?
Deliverance.
You're dismissed. If you want to go downstairs, grab yourself something to eat. Follow us on the website, runwithfire.com. Give us an email. We want to hear from you here. Send a testimony. If you're watching by way of the web, are they still on right now? If you're watching by way of the internet, if you got this through a different way, go to runwithfire.com, or you can go to royfields.com. If you want to get any of the music or teachings or t-shirt or hat or any products, you can go to royfieldsmusic.com. Either one of those sites will take you there. We love everybody tonight. We say God bless you. From Kingston, New York, if you're watching from Rochelle, Illinois, we will see you next weekend. In Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord one more shout? God bless you. God bless you. See you downstairs.